Deuteronomy chapter 6, amen. And just want to mention to folks that our morning services do get recorded on audio cassette tape. And if you'd like a copy of any message, just let me know and we'll get you one, or the videos in the evening. Deuteronomy chapter 6, amen. We're going to look at verses 10 through 15, and then we'll get into the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, in houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, in wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards, olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are around about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God this morning, the good old King James Bible, Father. Yes, we do preach the old book here, and that old book is the King James Bible, Father. Now, we just pray for your blessing from thy Word this morning. We pray that you'd open up our hearts and our minds to receive the engrafted Word of God. Father, maybe there's something someone here has to hear this morning. I pray that you would open their ears to hear your Word and your Word alone. Fill me with the Spirit of God. Help me to speak and preach only those things that you'd have me to say this evening. Father, now we just commit this precious time into thy hand, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Alrighty, we have been looking at Deuteronomy chapter 6, actually verses 1 through 15, for the last, this will be the third week, and we'll try to finish it up, amen. But we've been making a spiritual application to the Christian. We know doctrinally, amen, that this passage, Deuteronomy chapter 6, falls up under the Old Testament, under the Old Testament law, and applies doctrinally to the children of Israel, amen, people. But we certainly can make a spiritual application and look at some things that we can apply to our lives. I've basically divided our passage up into four areas. Area number one was instructions, and that's where we concluded last time in verses 1 through 9. We looked at some instructions in verses 1 through 9. God gives us concerning his word, amen. And we spent a couple of weeks on that. And this morning, what I want to do is finish up the other three areas, if I can. The second area was production. Production. We're going to look at production, verses 10 through 11, which is the product of the results of following God's instructions concerning his word. And then the third area is some more instructions in verses 12 through 14. More instructions on how we are to live our lives for God. And not only does we have some more instructions, but we also have a warning contained within these instructions for something for us to beware of. And then finally, the fourth area we'll look at quickly is destruction. Destruction, verse 15, the result of not following the instructions concerning God's words and how to live for him. All right, let's pick up. Let's look at the production, and as we look at the production in verses 10 through 11. We just read those. But what I want you to see is the production or the results of following God's instructions concerning his word. Notice with me, if you will, especially in verse number 11, the following. He makes some statements. He says, houses full of good things. Good things. Let's back up for a minute. Just go into verse 10. To give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. Now, what I want you to notice in those list of things is they were given, or being given to the children of Israel, without any effort being expended by the individual. By the individual. See, we see the word, give you goodly cities which thou buildest not. Houses full of goodly things which thou fillest not. Wells digged which thou diggest not. vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. Amen. So all of these things are given. These are blessings that are given. Amen. In other words, as we spiritualize it, these things represent blessings that you and I get as a result of believing God's word concerning salvation, being obedient to his word, in other words, and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. A person that is obedient to God's word will receive all of these things. That just as salvation, okay, salvation, we couldn't expend any effort to get saved. We just believed on Christ, amen. We received him. It was a free gift. Over in Romans chapter 5, let's turn to Romans chapter 5. I want you to see that eternal life, salvation, is a free gift. Romans chapter 5. We see in Romans chapter 5, in verse 15, we want to see that salvation is a free gift. Romans chapter 5 and verse 15, Paul writes, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many." As we're looking in Romans chapter 5, he's talking about salvation. In Romans chapter 5, verse 15, we see that free gift mentioned. The gift, amen. And we know by Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we know the gift that he's talking about in Romans chapter 5 is eternal life. And then it goes on in Romans chapter 5, verse 16. "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification." Verse 17. "For if by one man's offense," he's talking about Adam's fall in the garden, "death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one Jesus Christ." We see again in verse 16, the gift, the free gift. In verse 17, the gift. And then again in verse 18, "Therefore as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation." And he's talking about Adam. Because of Adam's sin and fall in the garden, all of mankind is condemned. "Even so by the righteousness of one," and he's talking about the righteousness of Jesus Christ, "the free gift," eternal life is what he's talking about, "came upon all men unto justification of life." So we see then, eternal life is the gift of God. It is a free gift. We have to do nothing for it. Christians who are obedient to God's word, amen, concerning salvation, and also in their Christian walk, have inheritances, have rewards awaiting them, amen. Ephesians, you know, we remember what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Great, but it doesn't finish there. In verse 10 it says, Ephesians chapter 2, "For we are his workmen, created in Christ Jesus." Why? Why are we created in Christ Jesus? "Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So as a result of being saved, receiving eternal life, then we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're to walk in good works. Because we're saved, good works don't save us, but because we're saved, we should do good works. Amen. It's what he's saying. See, God is more obedient, is more interested, amen, for you and me to be obedient to him instead of running around doing a lot of religious things. This morning, Sunday morning, there are a lot of people running around doing a lot of religious things. But God doesn't care about those things. He's more interested in you being obedient to him and being obedient to his word. You know, a woman once came to Jesus, and I can't quote it word for word, but she basically said, she came to him and said, you know, blessed is the you know, the breast of the woman that raised thee, amen. In other words, he was saying how blessed he was to have Mary, and he corrected this woman. He said, no, more blessed is he that believes my word and does what it says, amen. See, that's a kind of obedience, amen. God's interested in you and I being obedient, not running around, you know, and running around and, you know, doing this and doing that and getting all tuckered out and everything. Amen. Don't get me wrong. We should be busy about the Lord's business. But he's more interested in you being obedient to him. You're doing it for him. You're not doing it to impress anybody else. Amen. We got a lot of people doing that. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. You don't have to turn there. But it says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Amen. That's what God looks at, your obedience. He blesses and he will give you abundantly if you're obedient to him. Again, we can have a lot of sacrifice, a lot of things being done without the right heart. Amen. You know, in other words, people come in and they sit down on Sunday and they look prim and proper and everything else. And then the rest of the week, they live for the devil. Amen. They live for the devil. A person who is obedient to God's word concerning salvation has as a result, and I want to look at some things as we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, we see that he said, houses, he says here, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. What's he talking about? Well, we know in a physical sense, he's talking about to the children of Israel that's if they're obedient to God's word, that he's going to give them cities, the cities of the people around him. They're going to go in and take them over. Well, how does that apply to you and I spiritually? Well, that applies to you and I spiritually, amen. Because we know that Jesus Christ has prepared for you and I, and he tells us over there, amen, we have a goodly city waiting for us, amen, as Christians when we die, amen. We have a mansion waiting for us. We're headed home. We're headed homeward. When we go home, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled in John chapter 14. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So spiritually, amen, as we apply this to you and I as Christians, you and I have a mansion waiting for us. Amen. In a goodly city. That goodly city, amen, we know as we turn over to Revelations, we're going to be in Revelations chapter 21, so let's turn there. Last book of the Bible. Revelations 21. God reveals some things to the Apostle John in the book of Revelations. And one of these things that he reveals to the Apostle John is that goodly city where you and I are going to abide for the rest of our lives eternally as Christians. As a result of obeying God's word and being obedient to him and getting saved. And listening to the gospel and doing what it says and believing on Christ. In Revelation, so we know we have a mansion, but in Revelations chapter 21, John says in verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. That's a goodly city that's awaiting us. A mansion's waiting there. Now it says, we know that we have a mansion there. And as we went back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, as a result to the children of Israel, as a result of being obedient to my word, you'll have houses full of good things which thou fillest not. But you and I spiritually will have houses full of good things which we buildeth, which we filleth not. Amen. Because look at what it says. Look what our house is going, look what that city is going to be filled of. Amen. It's going to be, number one, we're going to be in a city, New Jerusalem, as I said, with gates of pearls. Look at in verse 21, Revelations 21. And 12 gates were 12 pearls. Amen. Every several gate was of one pearl. So we see we're going to have a gate of pearl. We're going to walk down a street of gold, amen. You know, we think of all these great avenues in the world today. We think of the Broadway in New York, amen. Of course, that's a good term for it, the Broadway, because we know in the Bible the Broadway leadeth to destruction, amen. It's a good name for it. But as we go through and we think of that way that meets where the Eiffel Tower is and in Paris, amen. We think of, is it Massachusetts Avenue? I forget, in Washington, D.C., where the president walks down, you know, to the inauguration to take the podium to be sworn in again. But you think of that great, it's probably not Massachusetts Avenue. What is it? Pennsylvania Avenue. I'm glad we have someone that knows Washington, D.C. here. Pennsylvania Avenue. Thank you. Pennsylvania. But we think of all these magnificent ways all over the world. Amen. You know, but as you think about this one, we're going to walk on a street of solid gold someday. Solid gold. And that city is going to be 1,500 miles long. Amen. And that, I believe that street is going to go from one end of it to the other. And we're going to walk on it. Praise the Lord for that. Things, houses full of good things, which thou fillest not. Look at also, that city's going to have a jasper walls in verse 18. And the building of the wall of it was jasper. The city was of pure gold, like under crystal glass. You know, sometimes you get depressed. Pick up Revelations 21 and read about the place that you're going to live for in eternity. Amen. Sure we will be. Not in our physical bodies, amen. We'll be in new glorified bodies, amen. The bodies that'll live forever, praise the Lord. Then we see also, full of good things, we see that there'll be no need of artificial lighting, amen. We are told in verse 23 that the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Jesus Christ is going to light up the place, in other words. His presence is going to light up the place. There'll be no need of artificial lights, street lamps. We are told, amen, it's full of good things, a city where there'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death, no more crying, no more pain. Look it with me, if you would, in verse 4 of Revelation 21. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Praise the Lord. We're going to be houses full of goodly things, which thou fillest not. A mansion in New Jerusalem we're going to have. There'll be no more curse. There'll be no more sin. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. There'll be no more sin. In verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh alive, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. No more sin, amen. No more politicians, praise the Lord. No more lying. No more debt. No more bills. You think of all the negative things in life, praise the Lord, they're not going to be there. You know. No more infection. No more diseases. No more cancer. No more heart attacks. No more AIDS. You name it, it isn't going to be there, praise the Lord. Then we see as another thing that was promised the children of Israel when they come in the land as a result of being obedient to God's word. He said, wells diggeth which thou diggest not. Amen. And he, of course, was talking about physical wells that would be there to supply their needs of water and that they would not have to dig. They'd already be dug. Amen. Well, how does that apply to you and I spiritually? As I thought about that, I remember then of that great encounter when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ met the woman of Samaria at the well, and he said to her, amen, we have wells, which we diggeth not, do we not, because of trusting Jesus Christ in a spiritual sense. Jesus said over in John chapter 4, as we know of this great dissertation, this great conversation that he had with this woman of Samaria. Of course, he was dealing with her about salvation, but he was able to use the subject of water and the drawing of water from a well. John chapter 4, Jesus said in verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. And he was talking about the physical water that I have in this cup. Amen. He said, if you drink of this water, you know, I have to keep drinking water because I get thirsty over and over again. It doesn't quench my thirst, just temporarily. He says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of springing up into everlasting life. Amen. Today, you and I spiritually never have to thirst again because we have Jesus Christ inside of us. I know before I was saved, there was something missing in my life. I had everything that I needed, amen. But there was something missing in my life, and that was Jesus Christ, amen. See, the things of this world are like physical waters, amen. They only satisfy you temporarily. But I praise God, and I can say, and I can stand before you, that Jesus satisfies my all, as he should satisfy your all, amen. Yes, we do indeed have wells digged, which we did not dig ourselves, amen, as a result of being saved. We have the water, spiritual water, that will never thirst again, amen. Water that in him is a well of springing up into everlasting life. That's what we have. That's what we have. Wells digged, which thou diggest not, amen. Then we said, he said another promise to the children of Israel as a result of them being obedient to his word. He said, when you come into the land, you'll have vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. Vineyards. I got thinking about that. Vineyards. How does that apply to us spiritually? Well, praise the Lord, in the same gospel of John, as you turn to John 15 with me, John chapter 15, I started thinking about vineyards. Now, we know vineyards in the Bible a lot of times applies to the nation of Israel. Amen? But look at in John chapter 15 with me in verse 5. And again, actually in verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. And then he talks about you and I as being branches to him, to the vine. And look at what he says in verse 5. He says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. See this morning? He's the vine. Jesus Christ is the vine, and you and I are the branches. And he that abideth in me, that means to dwell, okay? Jesus is inside of you. If you've trusted Christ, Jesus is inside of you. But you may not be really abiding with him, not really giving him a welcome home inside of you. He says, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Underline that. Before you and I go off half-cocked trying to do something, remember what Jesus says. Without me, he said, you can do nothing. You and I can't do anything without Christ, he said. Whatever it is. But he says, if you'll abide in me, we'll bring forth much fruit. You will bring forth much fruit. That's why maybe things aren't happening in your life they should be, the way they should be for God, because you're not really abiding with him. You haven't lost him. You haven't lost your salvation. But he's really not dwelling in you like he should be. You really haven't made your heart a home for him. You really haven't made it comfortably. You haven't opened yourself totally to him, in other words. You're keeping him out of your life. You're trying to, you know, oh, he's a drag. I don't want him to look into this area of my life because I'll have to stop that sin or I'll have to stop this or whatever it is. He wants all of you. He wants to come and dwell with you and abide with you. And if you and I allow him to do that, he said that we will bear much fruit. But remember, you and I can do nothing without him. We have a lot of preachers today. We have a lot of Christians today going around bragging how many they have in the church. How many souls are saved? Amen. You know? Like they did it. But Jesus says, you and I can do nothing without him. We need to remember that. Then I thought about the olive trees. Vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. Olive trees. Now we know that olive oil is a picture or type of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And as a matter of fact, remember when Noah was in that ark and the waters had stopped and he he let that dove go out. And, of course, the dove is a picture or a type of the Holy Spirit. And the dove came back, and the dove had an olive leaf in his hands. Amen. What this is telling us, not only are we the branches to the vine, to Jesus Christ, but you and I as believers, as a result of being obedient to God's word concerning salvation, we have the indwelling, the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which is pictured by those olive trees. Each and every one of us has the indwelling Holy Spirit permanently indwelling us, sealing us till the day of redemption. We can't lose it, praise the Lord. All as a result of being obedient, all of these things that I've described, and I really haven't done them justice, amen, but all of these things that I have described, you and I are blessed by them as a result of being obedient to God's word and trusting God's Son as our personal Savior to be saved. Deuteronomy, as we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse 11, it ends with the following statement. When thou shalt have eaten and be full. When thou shalt have eaten and be full. This is exactly how you and I can feel as a result of being saved, as a result of living for God. You know, the Bible says we can have a joy unspeakable and full of glory. We can feel like we're up on the mountaintop, like we don't have a care in the world. And nothing can bring us down, amen. That we can't fall, amen. We have to remember what Paul said about falling. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12, he said, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. In other words, if sometimes we go running around saying, hey, I'm immune to sin, I'm not going to fall, I'm not going to get into sin. Paul says, you think that way, you're going to get into sin, amen. You're not above it. So we saw the production, amen, of the results of being obedient to God's word. The third area we want to look at is, in our passage, is a set of instructions on how to live for God. And it also concerns a warning. Looking in verse 12 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. He says, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12, look at what he says. We have a warning. Right after, when thou have eaten and be full, and then in verse 12 he says, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord. We are reminded, we are warned here. Just because we're on the mountaintop and everything is going good, don't forget the Lord. That's where you and I forget the Lord, is in times of prosperity. Amen. That's what's wrong with our country today. Our country today forgets who puts that bread on the table day by day. Amen. Who has made this country a great nation? Not because of its great leaders, amen. Heaven forbid for that. But because of God. God's hand has been on this country. Amen. Because this country, for many years, up until now, and it's slowing down, has preached this book, the King James Bible. Has put this book out where people could get it, amen. Has put no restrictions on it. People could buy it. Was given, cheaply reproduced, and so forth and so on. But we've eaten high off the hog. Like Brother Mickey said, the barn is burning and burning and nobody cares. Amen. And that's true. It's burning, literally. People are going to, you know how Americans are, they're going to, a rude wake-up call. Well, why didn't anybody tell us, amen? You know, we got neighbors all around this neighborhood. They'll stand before God and have no excuse. They had a Bible-believing church right in their neighborhood. There's a man over here, and there's a man across the street, and all they had to do was they didn't even have to drive to it, amen. Why is all this happening to us? Why are we having all this terrible weather? Why are we having all of this flooding? It's because this country is turned away from God. This state of Massachusetts is turned away from God. Amen. Judgment. Judgment. That's what it is. Judgment. It says, Deuteronomy 6, verse 12, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now again, doctrinally, he's telling Israel, you know, let's not forget. okay? Who's the one that took you out of slavery? Amen. When you were a slave to the Egyptians. Amen. Spiritually to you and I, he says, remember, to you and I as Christians, when you're getting high off the hog and you're eating high off the hog, amen. Remember, it's who saved you. Amen. Who it was saved? You didn't save. Sometimes we get so prosperous and we go around and we brag on ourselves, amen, and we say we did this and we did that, and we talk almost like we saved ourselves. We have to remember it was God who saved you and I from a life of sin, amen, from a life of slavery to sin, just as the children of Israel were in bondage to Egypt, to the world. We were in bondage to this world. We were slaves to sin. We were dead in trespasses and sin. We walked after the course of this world. We had the spirit of disobedience. We follow the god of this world, Satan. Amen. It was God, remember, that saved you and I from eternity in the lake of fire where we deserve to go. Verse 13, he says in Deuteronomy 6, thou shalt fear the Lord, thy God. Amen. Again, he's repeating this. He said it in verse 2 already. But again, he's reminding us the fear of the Lord. And I talked about fear of the Lord the last time we spoke of it. Amen. A lot of things, if you read the Bible, it has a lot to say about the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A fear of the Lord makes a woman depart from evil. Amen. All of these things, the fear of the Lord. Then we see, amen, we see the fear of the Lord. Then he says in verse 13, serve him. Thou shalt fear the Lord, thy God, and serve him. And serve him. And serve him. We're reminded to serve God. A lot of times Christians can get prosperous, amen, and for God who blessed them, and then we start serving all the false gods. See, because God was concerned about Israel when they got into the land, that they would worship all these false gods of the people that were in those lands, which they did in some ways. We saw later on because they weren't obedient to God. Now that we're saved and we're prosperous and God's blessing us, amen, we got to be careful that we don't go around and start serving the gods of this world around us. No, I'm not talking about little images of metal or wood or something. A god is anything that you put before the God, capital G, amen. And you start serving the gods, the little g's, amen. It can be money, education, family, the job, amen. I'm not saying we've got to be in this world but not of it. We need to use the things of the world, amen. You know, we need a car to get around with, amen. But we don't make the car, you know, our god, amen. We use the things of this world, but we don't make them our gods. We don't love them. They're of necessity, amen. We use the telephone and different things and so forth. We get an education so we can get a better job, but we don't worship it. We don't highly esteem it. Things of a necessity more than anything else. Then he says in verse 13, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Swear by his name. What does that mean? Swear by his name. Swear by his name. Give a testimony to God. We need to give God the glory. We need to brag on God. What has God done for you? Tell others what God has done for you. Swear by his name, not by your name. Well, I did this because I'm marvelous, because I went to school and I did this. No, God has blessed me. God has given me this good job. God has put food on my table day by day consistently. God has given me the brains to be able to get an education. We need to swear by his name, Christian. That includes me. I'm preaching to myself this morning. It's not because of what we have done. It's because what he has done. He has not only saved us, but he also blesses us if we're obedient to him. We need to brag on God. Excuse me? He will not bless you if you're not obedient. That's a principle of God in his word. He will not bless you. Amen. Look at verse 14 in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are around about you. What he is talking here, and again, he's talking to Israel here. about going in and worshiping those false gods or going after the gods of the people after them. Amen. But what he's talking to you and I spiritually, I believe, today is separation concerning how we're looking at some instructions on how we're to live. He's talking about separation. He wants you and I to be separate from the things and the people of the world. Don't get me wrong now. I'm not saying you can't, you know, we have to go to work and we have to be around unsaved people. But we don't, you know, we primarily should be socializing with other Christians, amen, is what he's saying. Let's look at some verses that talk about separation in the world. Look at it, 1 John with me. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John, 1st Epistle of John chapter 2. He talks about separation. 1 John chapter 2. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. If you think about it, for all that is in the world, all of that is in the world is on that television set. Amen. All of your advertisement, okay, fits one of these categories. The lust of the flesh, it appeals to the lust of your flesh, to the lust of the eyes, and to the pride of life. Amen. We saw these three things that Satan tried to tempt Jesus with in the wilderness. The lust of the flesh, you know, he was hungry. And the devil said, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. See? And Jesus said, no way. As it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what Jesus threw the word on him. Every time Satan comes to you, you throw the word on him. You give him this sword of the Spirit. You give him the word of God. Amen. The word of God. Then we see that he tempted them also. Amen. He took them up to the top and he says, fall, you know, jump down because it says, because you're, you know, the angels will take charge of you and lift you up. Amen. Pride of life. Then the lust of the eyes. He took Jesus up and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he says to the devil, if you'll bow down and worship me, amen, I'll give you all these kingdoms. And Satan legitimately could have given Christ those kingdoms because he is the God of this world. But again, Jesus said, no way. But you're only to serve the Lord thy God and him alone. But we're to be separate. We're to be separate. That's what John is writing here. We're to be separate from the things of the world. Again, I said, you got to use the things of the world. You got to use that car to get to work. Amen. And some of the things. But we're not to love them. We're to love God above all things. Jesus said himself in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, he says in verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is money, material. So, we're to be separate. You love God. You can't love both. You can't love God and the world. You know, and sometimes that's, again, why you don't have any power. Why I don't have any power, Christian, is because we're trying to do both. You can only do one. You can't split it up. You got to put all your eggs in the one basket, amen. And if I'm going to put all my eggs in the one basket, it's not going to be with the Reform Party. It's not going to be with the Democrats. It's not going to be with the Republicans. It's going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I know that he keeps his promises every time he moves his lips. Amen. Look what Paul wrote about separation. Separation, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Separation, it's in here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. He says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What does that mean? Yoked. You know, when you think of cattle, when they plow, they put them together in a yoke. They're side by side. And what he's saying is not to be yoked with unbelievers. You shouldn't date them. You shouldn't marry them. You shouldn't socialize with them. Amen. That's what he's saying. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has... For what fellowship... Then he asks a series of questions. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? The answer is no. And what communion hath light with darkness? None. And what concord hath Christ with Baal? Baal is the devil. No concord. And what part hath that him that believeth with an infidel? You should have no part with an infidel. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? No agreement. He says, for ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, as a result of, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, I will receive you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 14 through 18. You ought to be separate. Separate. A picture of this separation is when the rapture comes. Okay? We're to be physically separate while we're alive as Christians on this earth. When the rapture comes, all of us are going to be physically and spiritually out of here. We're going to be, whether you want to or not, Christian, you're going. Amen. Okay? Whether you want to or not, he's taking you out. I don't care what you got down here. You're going. And I'm going, praise the Lord. Talk about separation. The final area, and quickly, we'll look at is the destruction in verse 15 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. The destruction. He says in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 6, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Well, you're saying this is on the Old Testament. It can't happen in the New Testament. Let me talk about this for a minute. This is a result, the destruction of not obeying God's word, not living for him. He says in verse 15, God is a jealous God. He wants all of you. Not just some of you, but he wants all of you and I. Remember what Jesus said? The cost of discipleship was. He said in Luke chapter 14, he said the cost of discipleship was in verse 26 and 27. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. He's not saying to go up to your mother and father and say, I hate you. You're no good. That's not what he's saying. He's saying is you're going to put God first. God comes before your family. Amen. Not to the neglect of your family, but your love for God becomes before the love of your family. That's the cost of discipleship. He's before all. He's to have preeminence. Amen. We see the possible consequences of a Christian continuing to be disobedient to God's words and not get right with him, going after the other small gods. It says, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. We know again that God is doctrinally speaking to Israel, but I want to tell you something. The Apostle Paul tells you and I, and we'll turn there and we'll end with this, that he can take a Christian home early. God can take you and I home early. Our death can come early than it should have been. Amen. If we continue to be in sin and we don't get right with him and we don't examine ourselves, if we continue in a thing, if we continue in a sin, okay, then God's word tells us that he can take us home early. We're not going to lose our salvation, but our physical life on this earth can be shortened. Look at what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So you can see what the word of God says. And in the context, of course, he's talking about the Lord's Supper and communion. Amen. And one of the reasons we come together in the Lord's Supper is for an examination of our sin life and to get right and to judge ourselves before God. But look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood, body and blood of the Lord. And he tells you what it means to drink it unworthily. He says, but let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily and eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, now listen, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So Paul was saying, a lot of folks at Corinth came to the, took of the Lord's Supper, took of communion, and before they did that, they did not examine themselves for the sin in their life. They didn't judge. If they found, if they got down before God and they asked God to show them their sin, in other words, they didn't do that. In other words, they didn't examine themselves. They didn't get down on their knees and say, God, show me the sin in my life that I need to confess and get right with you. They didn't do that. They went right into the Lord's Supper and they partook of the elements. And as a result of that, they were damned. Many, it says, were sick. Many got physically ill and many sleep. That means he took Christians home early. He took their life. So that's why it's important for you and I as Christians to examine our lives daily and honestly seek the Lord for any sin. You know, sometimes God gives us warnings. I always tell people, if stuff's going on in your life, the first thing you and I should do is get down on our knees and ask God to show us if there's some sin in your life. That's the first thing you're going to do. Okay? If you honestly search and it doesn't come up, then fine, go on. Because sometimes God will bring adversity in your life for many reasons. If you sin against Him, number one, all right, maybe He's just trying to strengthen you. That's another reason for why we suffer, amen. To strengthen us, to see, to show our affections towards Him, amen. Sometimes we go through things just to bring glory to Him. And sometimes we go through things because it's our own fault, because we've sinned. But when you're going through something, I tell people to get down on their knees and to get ask God to show them if it's sin in their life. And if they've honestly done that, it isn't, then it's one of the other two things. But if you go and you assume that it's some, you know, God's trying to strengthen you and the devil's picking on you, or God's going to get glory out of it, then see, you're going to pass up that first option. It may be because you've got sin in your life. God's trying to get your attention, and if you continue in it and you don't examine yourself, He'll take you home early. So we need to examine ourselves, judge ourselves on a daily basis. So we've seen in our passage, as we close, we've seen the instructions God gives us concerning His Word, the production, the results of how He will bless us if we're obedient to His Word. Then we saw some more instructions, which included a warning. Coining a warning on how we should live for Him. And then finally, we saw what will happen. The destruction, the consequences of not living for the Lord God, but for other small gods, and not getting right with Him. You know, it's my prayer today. As small as we are, we can still be effective for the Lord. But to be effective for the Lord, we have to be obedient to the Lord. Obedient to the things of the Lord. I ask you this morning, I pray that this message, a series of messages on these instructions and God's words, are not in vain. We're not worthless as we come to our time of invitation. I pray that you'll, if the Holy Spirit of God, see the Holy Spirit of God, I can't convict you. It's the Holy Spirit of God. If the Holy Spirit of God, I pray, will prick your conscience, prick your heart, I ask you this question, and I ask it to myself, are you really being obedient to the Word of God and these instructions? You know, praise God, all the blessings that we have if we're obedient to Him because we've been being saved, amen. Praise the Lord for that. But let's not take that salvation for granted. Let's not get back into, you know, living for the world again, amen, because we know, as we saw, there'll be some destruction to pay for it, amen. There'll be some instructions to pay for it. If we don't live for Him, if we forget Him, you know, we forget what he's done for us. Beware lest thou forget the Lord was the warning and the instructions. That's what I say to you. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. Remember, my dear Christian, what he's done for you and what he's done for me. He saved us. He paid an awful price for that. It was a great sacrifice, but again, the word grace doesn't, great doesn't do it justice. Sinless man. Had no sin in him. He was made, the just was made for the unjust. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. Amen. I pray that each and every one of us can be more obedient to him. I believe if you'll be obedient to him, then you can be more effective for him, that you can be more effective for this church. And I believe that we'll see more souls being saved. Amen. But God is not going to use a dirty vessel. Amen. God will not use a dirty vessel. He wants a clean vessel. He wants a vessel that's washed in his word. And you and I, the only way we can be a clean vessel is to be washed in his word each and every day. Be faithful to the things of God. Be obedient to the things of God. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for your words. And I just pray that each and every one of us would take these words to our hearts. And be more obedient to thee, Lord, in how we live our lives for you. Help us to examine ourselves daily for the sin in our life, to confess it and be right with thee. Father, beware lest we forget the Lord. Help us never to forget you and that great price of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he paid for each and every one of us, to save us. Thank you for all the spiritual blessings that we have to this day. We have that home in heaven, that mansion, and that new Jerusalem filled of good things. Father, where there's no tears, no pain, no crying, no sorrow, no death. Father, we thank you for that water of life that springs up inside of us each and every day. We thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. We thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ is the vine and we are the branches. Help us to abide in him. Father, now, as we come to our closing hymn of invitation, we just pray now that, as always, your Holy Spirit would have its will and its way. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.